And good evening. It is Intuitive Soul Radio. And tonight we have Journey to the Light with Beth Lynch. And very excited to have you back, Beth. So how are you?
I am good, and it's great to be back. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So tonight we're going to talk a little bit about meditation and the misconceptions around it and the importance of it. So, yeah, where do you want to start?
Well, I think maybe the importance first, I think. I teach meditation and have been teaching it for 12 years or so, practicing it as well, probably a few years before that, and have seen such differences in many things as far as focus and concentration, how I absorb or, you know, comprehend in reading. I noticed those changes probably, definitely without looking for them when it first began. But then also, as I got into it more, the connection of the higher self and the spirit became obviously a very natural thing that I think I was looking for in it, but didn't realize the power of it, and then opens your intuition, your intuitive doorways, your own, you know, that trust and faith as the communication continues on with you. And it comes a lot of times through self-confidence, often through just, you know, not having to search outside and get many opinions. You know, you kind of start to know and feel what you need to do. And sometimes that isn't always a logical thing. Sometimes it's more of a just that true, you just know you have to. And I think meditation really nurtures all of that, which is within us in a very natural way to be. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, there's the benefits of it on, you know, on so many levels. Physically, strengthens the immune system, helps with any kind of healing process during, you know, after surgeries, you know, dealing with the stress or stressors of disease of the body, things like that. Giving your mind a time out of some of the challenges that you have to face on a daily basis. So these are all the benefits on every level. And then even with, you know, with children, when you work with the children and you get them into a consistent little meditation, meaning just a few minutes of a few deep breaths, bring themselves into that happy place or, you know, you know, there's a lot of different ways using imagination with children you can go. And just giving them that few minutes in that place to go every day for themselves, whether it's before school or even play or even in timeouts, you know, make their timeout a more productive timeout instead of like a, why should a timeout be a punishment, you know? Right. And it should be a place to go and think and to maybe learn about, understand their emotions or unwind their emotions a little. So meditation can be used in all the benefits of it. You know, dealing with your emotions and how you respond emotionally is, you know, one of the great, great benefits of it as well. So you take all those, and that's a list in itself, you know, and then there's like subcategories of those things.
Mm-hmm.
But it helps, you know, balance that high, even that high, you know, that psychic energy sometimes that a lot of people are dealing with now. Their intuition is heightened. I get a lot of people, I'm sure you do too, saying, you know, I'm getting these feelings, or I'm having dreams of, you know, my, you know, father who's in the spirit world, and they're coming to me, and, you know, the veils are thin, and the energy in the other side of the veil is very fast, and, you know, we have that part of us in our own, you know, consciousness as well, so we need to learn how to balance that and not turn it off, because it's a part of who we are now for survival, more so than just, you know, curiosity and what is that, and I want to know more about it. So these are the benefits. I think it flows into so many avenues for so many ages and so many situations. And then, you know, the misconceptions are maybe that you have to, you know, go into this deep trance, or, you know, you have to have all this time to do it. You know, time is a human measurement. You know, and the first 45 seconds to a minute of your day is very, very influential on how the whole energy of the day is going to go.
Right.
And give yourself that water in the morning, that nourishment through a few deep breaths and some gratitude through an affirmation, and you've meditated for, you know, maybe 45 seconds. If you got time in the day, yes, definitely longer, or 5 minutes here, 5 minutes there, connect to nature, take a walk, don't put on your music, or put on higher, you know, vibrational music, meditation music, you know, that's just inspirational music, you know,
mm-hmm.
more ways to meditate. you know, it's the misconceptions is we got to lay there and be silent and be still and turn off our minds. And I think that's the biggest struggle people say to me when they're learning to meditate or trying to, you know, where do I start? You're not, you know, your mind wants to keep moving. So your mind wants to keep thinking. So the odds are you're not going to turn it off. Right. So let's discipline it. Let's direct it with an intention to be still, to slow. And even the way I'm just slowing down, that's something that I used, I still use, to help me kind of get my, you know, slow myself down if I start getting like, oh, I really want to push this down people's throats. You know you can. So you step back and you slow down. And it really does help. There's breath in that slowness. So I slowed myself down. I think that was kind of obvious. Mm-hmm. So those are some of the things that I see and in teaching it or just, you know, and in doing it myself. And then you open the doorways for, you know, beautiful, you know, experiences with the divine or, you know that those energies where we connect with those of spirit that we miss and love, and you get to maybe get a glimpse or a feeling. You get it to be more of a glimpse, but a feeling.
Right.
And that's the difference I see, too, now with people, the relationship they're having with their higher self, their spirit, the divine, God, you know, it's very intellectual, and we have to step back and let the feeling be there, because that's where you feel, that's where you really resonate, you know, and the vibration lifts, and then it becomes so much more than something you know. A lot of people will say, I know, I know. Well, I know that. Well, I know that. But you have to feel it, and our spirits are craving it, and I think that's, you know, the big search and the big purpose is to know your spirit. What is my purpose? I don't know how many times you hear that as a question from client, but, you know, what is my purpose? Your purpose is to be here, to live, to breathe, to connect to your spirit, to know who you are truly, not just as a human being,
right?
You know, but as a spiritual being as well, and let these frequencies, you know, work together, and then it becomes a beautiful thing, and all ages can meditate. I've seen children, a room full of six-year-olds, sit and go chant for, you know, 10 minutes, and I can't get adults to do that for 10 minutes. The children, they're not going to think about it. They just want to do it. You know, they want to breathe. Right. They start connecting, and it's just like angels. It's amazing.
Yeah.
So, you know, get me going on meditation, and that's a big question for me, because I have a lot of answers.
Well, and I want to back up quite a few and just explore some of these, because I think they're important concepts to explore. And, you know, one of the things that, you know, comes up a lot is, you know, what's the difference between prayer and meditation? And I know what I think the difference is. Do you want to, you know, kind of tackle that?
Yeah. Prayer is interesting. To me, it's the oldest form of meditation, and because a lot of prayer is repetitive words, you know, we say the prayer, you know, we go back to if I go back to my traditional upbringing, well, go say four of these and five of these and, you know, you're okay.
And, you're Catholic.
Okay, well, so, but, you know, the repetitive is what is meditation. It is, you know, sometimes you can chant a repetitive word, but to me, it is the oldest form, but I think where it gets confusing is often when people pray, they pray in fear, they pray in desperation, they pray in absence of something, and in meditation, we're often, you know, shown, taught, or experiencing, pray with a clear intention, pray with a positive, and I like the word higher vibrational better than positive, because, you know, there's a positive, negative thing, but everything is energy. So you have higher vibrational, lower vibrational. So pray in higher vibration. And then the law of attraction, you know, it comes back. You know, we pray usually because a lot of times we want something.
Right.
But we also need to pray in gratitude. We need to pray just, you know, that thank you and, you know, and, oh, there's so many ways. So just kind of getting into the difference. There's different ways and there's different. Is they're the same in a lot of ways, but then how we go about it, you know, can really change the whole understanding of it. You go into meditation with too much expectation, and sometimes you're let down that nothing happened. Well, it's in that silence, that subtleness. You know, even when you work out, you have muscles. They don't really grow in the workout, they're growing when you're resting and you're feeding them the nutrition. That's when they're growing. So the meditation, the third eye, which is the muscle that you're actually stretching in a sense when you meditate, you're opening that third eye, you know, giving it energy and exercise to open. It's a lot of times not in the moment of the meditation or prayer that you're going to get what you may be requesting or trying to manifest.
Mm-hmm.
If it is for your higher good,
yeah,
you got to go right down that line then. Yeah,
and I think you make a huge point about prayers that I do believe a lot of people, when they're praying, you know, it's that hopeful, needing aspect of prayer, because I think a lot of times that's what we've been told, is that, you know, when you pray, you're in a space of, you know, need and desperation. And to me, prayer is all about intention, and it's that, you know, you need to meditate to create a connection, but prayer is your communication. So often prayer and meditation for me come one in one, because you don't want to just not have an intention when you're meditating. So to me, as soon as you make an intention, that's a prayer. That's an open prayer of communication of what you're looking for to create within this moment. But the meditation, the point of that stillness that you're connecting with. And, you know, to me, I think there are three different ways that we can connect. We can connect with our third eye, we can connect with our heart, and we can connect with our hara point. Or some people get really confused between their hara and their solar plexus, depending on whether their teachings have been predominantly Western teachings or Eastern teachings. To me, those three areas are the primary way that we connect. And clearly within your book and what you've also spoken about today is that you work with the third eye. And I tend to work with the heart, but I think we both get to the same place. And I think they're both, I think all three ways are, you know, very beneficial depending on, you know, who we attract and where we work with. But I think it's very interesting. And I know that for me, meditation is, you know, creating that connection so that you can communicate, so that you can do your prayer, so that you can also just be open to listening, because that is certainly, to me, when the stillness comes in, that's when we're receptive to opening, to listening.
Yeah. That is the best way to put it, right there. It's in the silence.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the silence, in between. Yeah.
So you talked about, you know, I haven't had an opportunity to read your entire book, but I have certainly started with, you know, the beginning parts of it. And, you know, you talked about creating sacred space. Why don't you talk about that?
You said creating the sacred space?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, that's important, and that's what, you know, meditation is, and creating that sacred space for yourself, you know, every day is important. And in the book, the Meditations for the Journey to Light, Meditation for the Soul, it is many different meditations and going through the different chakras and uniting the chakras together, because that does help create that vibration around you, which creates that sacred space. And whether that's a meditation or, you know, a healing, or, you know, even a verbal healing and a channeling, the sacred space needs to be there first for that communication to take place. You know, I feel, and I know you do too, for the higher good of the people you're sitting with, or yourself when you're, you know, clearing for yourself. But that sacred space every day is so important, you know, to create. And again, it is a vibration that you create. So you can create it in nature, just walking, you know, along, you know, again, tuning in. You can create it through, and I think breath work is really, the breath work is so important in the book, and also even, like I said, if you're in nature, or you're just sitting, or you're taking a walk, get your breath going, because that sends the signal to the nervous system that we are slowing down, and you are listening to me, nervous system, because our nervous system will listen if we, you know, guide it, train it, whatever word you want to use. But through breath, you start to send the signal. And then you continue into, you know, the intention, or, you know, the visualization if you're a visualizer. And
talk about intention. talk about intention, because that's hugely important. And I think, you know, a lot of people just go into meditation and they don't have an intention other than they're thinking, well, I'm supposed to still my mind, which you mentioned, and I believe completely that, you know, we don't have a lot of control over our mind. And that also allows us to know that, you know, our mind is not who we are, because, you know, if we had complete control over our mind, then, you know, then we would actually be our mind, and we're not. That allows us to be able to see that, you know, there is a witness that is witnessing the fact that we can't control our mind. We can't control our thoughts. We can focus them. We can shift them into an intentional state, but, you know, we don't have control. And I think that's hugely important. And the intention when we go into meditation, I think, you know, is probably one of the most important parts of why we're doing that.
Yeah. Again, yeah, just that word, control. I mean, you're not going to, and there's an immediate, I think, reaction from the ego, or the, whether it's sometimes disappointment or frustration or anger that, you know, when you don't get the control you want when you're in there the first few minutes, you get frustrated and you give up.
Right.
You know, and what I like to teach people when you're even, whatever approach you're going to take, just giving yourself that intention before you begin, whether it's picking up a book or listening to a CD, you've set the intention. Stay with that intention. Your intention was to be, to just allow yourself, you know, some moments, some free moments. But, you know, again, going in with what intention? With high expectation that you're going to have that experience that, you know, or that, you know, people talk about. And to me, it will be a natural response of your system to give you, but you have to give it the opportunity to do so, you know. And that's, I feel I just always go in with no a clear intention, but no expectation, and I don't feel I'm ever let down.
Right.
And sometimes it's, you know, I'll doze off, and sometimes I'll have, you know, see my mother, and sometimes I'll, you know, I'm preparing myself to clear for, you know, work during the day and channeling, and I know it's all happening no matter what happens. I know that is happening.
Right.
You know, and there's a peace with that. There's a peace because you can look forward to just, you know, if you got a headache or if you got, you know, something, you can know that if you, I know if I lay down or sit upright and just do some breath and make the connection with the heart chakra to the third eye, I think that is a very important bridge right there.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like almost bridge it with the colors. You you start right there beginning to energize yourself. So you'll get energy if you need it. You'll relax. You'll calm if you have anxiety. You'll prepare to absorb whatever information if you're going to study. There's so many places you can use it and put it, or just to be, you know.
Right.
That I don't know if you got to lesson three or not with the chanting, but when I was putting that little program together, I went down to the lake to walk and do a little yoga by the edge of the water, and all of a sudden I just sat there and I started, you know, I knew, you know the chakra colors, so I was kind of like breathing, and I saw the red rose start opening, and I just started chanting the chant that goes with that chakra, and I realized I was going up, and I was, you know, somewhere, I think I might have been in the heart when, I mean, I was just letting them chance out. I didn't care who was walking by me. And all of a sudden, I was just like, thank you so much for, I could feel the chakras opening. It was like this amazing moment for myself. And I just was like, God, I was so grateful that I was aware of this, you know? And I sent that thought out there. And as soon as I sent that thought out, what came back was lesson three. And I knew immediately, oh, wow, I know where that goes. And I just finished it. You know, I went right up the tree there, as I call it, the chakra tree, right to the crown, and just let myself experience it, and went home and wrote out lesson three pretty quickly, obviously. But, yeah, so, you know, it's given. I was sitting there for the just with no expectation.
Yeah.
But we allow, you know, those are the opportunities we'll have for such beautiful things to come in.
Right.
Whether it's for teaching or personal, you know, healing, or for just making that big decision in your life. If you do this on a daily basis, you're creating the opportunity for intuition and the inner voice and the higher self, whoever you want to call, you know, and do call upon up there to work with you.
Right.
You can't get into our cluttery fast-thinking thoughts. There's a lot going on there.
Right. You know, it's funny. I've been doing a lot of interviews lately, and you know, some of the deeper, you know, thoughts that have been coming out is like, you know, always go to bed asking a question. You know, because we are so much about growth and expanding our awareness and our consciousness. And, you know, use that time, because dream time is an incredibly important time. In those times, you know, just before you wake up and just as you're falling asleep, or you know, when we connect in with our soul or our spirit, and those moments are really huge. And those are the things that we can work with to set our intention. And those are the ways that we can allow spirit, soul to work with us and connect with us. But you also talk about journaling, which, you know, kind of goes hand in hand with, you know, just being an open and expansive and then whatever information we get, whatever, because we are being open, because we are, you know, making that connection, whatever we receive, you know, can be answers, whether it's a visualization, whether it's actual words, whether it's feelings, whatever it is, you know, to connect with that and then to write about it.
Yeah, and the journaling, if you journal, and a lot of people say, well, I don't have time to do that too. People who go through the program with me, the 6-week, in, you know, in program, they have to journal for me to give the intuitive interpretation for them. So, but there are a lot of people, you know, going through it and they're like, well, I don't really have time to journal. I said, you know what, don't be hard on yourself if you don't. But if you can grab, you know, a notebook or a journal and just write how you're feeling at the moment, and, you know, how do you feel? And then, you know, go from there if you want. But it just, sometimes making your meditations tangible, they can be used for such, to look back and, you know, see where you've, how far you've come or where you may be holding, you know, things. If something keeps coming up repetitive, you see that, you know, you're not moving through, and then maybe you can take the time to go a little deeper into it through, you know, well, there's many ways, affirmation, work, clear intention, you know, the ways that we're going to approach it, obviously. So, I don't know, it can be a great way to make your meditations manifest and tangible and see. I know when I do the inner light healing on people, I have a notebook ready, because when I'm going into the chakras, I start to get symbolisms and metaphors of the subconscious patterns down there. And some, I mean, I was doing one today, and I I looked at her, I kind of like couldn't read my writing because I'd been writing kind of fast. I'm like, wow, I don't remember writing that. And she goes, what? And I go, well, sometimes it's like automatic writing. You're getting information in your writing, you know, and you don't realize that you're writing something until you go back and read it. So it can be so helpful, because you're channeling yourself then, and you're bringing yourself guidance that maybe in the logical mind you'd question or wonder. But when you're automatic writing, or, you know, there's so many words for what they call that, meditation writing, I don't know, I've heard it called many things, the journaling, and you find yourself putting things in there that, you know, might surprise yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them things you may want to see, and maybe something you don't, but everything is, you know, that acceptance, and it's telling you something, or it wouldn't come up. That's what I tell people. If there's no nerve, if it's, it can't pinch you if there isn't something there.
That's true.
You know?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And, of course, you've already mentioned, but breathing is, and breathing awareness is obviously key to slowing yourself down, but just making that connection. And, you know, sometimes that's all it takes to, you know, to shift you out of wherever you're at, like to shift you out of that place that, you know, maybe you feel like you have no control, but it, you know, often it's just that matter of, you know, taking that moment and being conscious, doing conscious breathing.
Mm-hmm. It slows you down, and it sends those signals. You know, it will just help you discipline your mind. It starts to calm the emotional responses that you might be having, if they're not so pleasant ones, or if they're just the blahs, even sometimes. You know, and then again, the physical systems start to resonate into the frequency of all that happening. There you go, you're creating sacred space that brings us right to that. And you know, you can do that in your car. I love to chant in the car, and you know, then you look next to you and someone's looking at you, but you know, with cell phones these days, they just think you're talking on the phone anyway, so who cares. But yeah, you know, chanting in the car is great. It's energizing for you, and sometimes can just get you from the next thing to the other with all the running around that you do. So there's always a place. There's always a place to do something, you know. That's what I tell people. Make the best of it, you know. Breathe walking down the aisles with the grocery cart in your hand instead of be aware of how many times you're holding an audience. Listen, tomorrow when you're at the grocery store, we tend to tighten up in that the lower belly in the center, the sacral power center area there, and we tighten, and if you become aware of that, if you breathe, you become aware of how often you hold and tighten there. And we wonder why there's so many, you know, physical energies down there and issues down there with people, because we are constantly in a tightness down there. And I'm very aware of it since doing breath work. I remember the first breath work class I ever took years ago. I was like, wow, I don't think I've been breathing for like, you know, 30, 15 years. What have I been doing, you know? Shallowly, maybe, but yeah. It was quite eye-opening. So I think, I can't who taught that class, but it, boy, opened me up to start to learn about breathing and breath work. And then I saw the basics, you know?
Yeah.
Keep it simple. In four, out six, in four, out six, in four, out six, you know? And then go six, eight, and keep it simple because it starts moving things immediately.
Right.
I think the simplicity is what people need too, you know. We don't need this whole complicated, we can't all have, you know, a whole room dedicated to meditation, but we can all have a little altar area or a little statue or a crystal or just a candle or, you know, looking out your window, you know, where there's a beautiful view or, you know, or in your mind. Bring it into your mind. Use your imagination and create that sacred space, and then get your breathing going and, you know, just let it be. Practice it. Every day, it's meditation practice. There's never, I don't think, I've never heard of a meditation master and my, you know, meditation practice. A lot of people very experienced will say my meditation practice.
Right.
You keep it humble and it works for you.
Yeah. You also mentioned something incredibly important, which is trusting your experiences. I think, you know, in these times, trust is probably one of the major things that we have to work through, because it's trust that we have lost and faith that we have lost. So, you know, being able to make that connection requires an aspect of trust.
Mm-hmm. And if you can't trust yourself, odds are outside of yourself you're not trusting completely, you know, whether it be decisions you're making, relationships you're in, you know, the choices you face every day. And trust is a big one. I say, you know, meditate on divine trust. Inhale divine, exhale trust, and help work yourself through that. You know, sometimes in sessions I'll see things, or, you know, even if I'm trying to make a decision on something, I want to trust myself completely that I'm doing it for the higher good of every, you know, if there's others involved with it or myself. You know, that divine truth or divine trust, it will reveal itself. And, you know, you can breathe it, you know, separate it, find in, exhale, trust, you know, and just kind of work with it if it's something that, you know, help. I know it'll help, you know, if you do it. It's just, is that something that, you know, whatever you need, you know, you put that word in divine in front of it, and you raise the frequency, and it starts to manifest a clear intention that you don't want just the human level of trust, you want the divine level of trust. And that's different.
Yeah.
It's like love, you know, the human level of love is beautiful and capable of so far, but the divine level is there's no cap, you know. It is a feeling that you can't give anyone. You have to feel it in the inner being. And meditation allows you to feel. It's like saying, "I love me." You know, let me take time for me and my spirit to be one, because I love me. You know, and you get, that's where it all begins, and that's where, you know, healthy conditions of relationships and you know, just healthy everything. You know,
right. So how is it helping us with consciousness and being present? Because I think, you know, that's a big piece of what meditation helps us do. But, you know, how does it enter into our everyday experience?
When you mean the benefits of meditation, or?
Yeah, just allowing us to be more conscious and present. Because I think that's a huge piece of it.
Yeah, I think right down to the very the basic, you know, first of all, the first thing you do when you wake up, that energy of wanting to wake up, you know, opening your eyes and looking forward to what your day is going to be. When you meditate and you're keeping those channels open and you're keeping your energy system healthy and your spirit nurtured and nourished, and, you know, nobody can take that from you, but nobody can give that to you. So your day becomes, you know, a day of not expecting the world to give it to you. You know what I mean? It's, you're already walking with all that you need and all that you have on so many level, or on that level, that the other levels it begins to trickle down to. Mm-hmm. And just making that choice, the choices you'll have to make, having the confidence, feeling confident. You know, and so, like, again, I don't know where I was saying it, but something about, you know, sometimes we go through the day just trying to be right all the time or do the right thing, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and our minds are going, and, you know, there's so many things that people deal with, but it's, you got to give yourself that nourishment to have the energy to go through whatever the day is going to bring, through thought first, you know, and... I mean, when you think of how many thoughts you have in a day, and it's kind of interesting, and each of them carry a vibration and a frequency, and so then if you think of all the times you're hard on yourself in the day, or, you know, you're not happy, or you're, you know, you got all this to do, and you have no end, you know, it's all these short thoughts, you know, it's just like I can feel it when I just bring myself there right now. And it's like, but when you meditate, you give yourself that outlet, get out to step out of that sacred space. Those are the words you said it right there, the sacred space. And the day can shift. You know, the day can, if you're going to say every day, I got up on the wrong side of the bed, and you're going to say that 100 times before you even get out the door in your mind, well, you better believe that everything's going to irritate you when you get out there. And you're going to keep saying it until you get home, and then you have your daily things that you have to do when you get home. Well, you're missing the pleasure and the gratitude of being able to do some of those things that others around you may not. You know, do physical challenges or, you know, financial situations. So we have to live in our gratitude no matter where we are, okay? And when we meditate and we become conscious, we do live in that gratitude much more. Much more than we would if we're not giving ourselves that outlet or that time or that sacred space through meditation. You know, and again, that misconception of, well, I don't have, you know, 20 minutes in the morning to meditate. Well, you know, I'll tell you, not too many people do, but everybody wakes up and has a minute before they, whether they're turning off their alarm clock or they're getting their foot out of the bed, where they can take a deep breath in and say, today I walk in my divine power, divine truth, and divine joy. Mm-hmm. That's a pretty simple one. And, you know, and you just say it with a nice deep breath. Maybe you haven't meditated for 2-3 minutes or 5 minutes or 20 minutes, but you've set a clear intention in a meditative way, you know, in a higher frequency way, that this is how your day is going to go. And, you know, come and get me day. Here we go. This is how I'm going through my day. Mm-hmm. You know, but that intention becomes energized. You know, your energy system feels that. It goes down into your cells. And if you're going to say that throughout the day, give yourself a couple, few breaks here and there to just take it and smile and say it, you're giving it more energy. You're meditating on something throughout the day. You know, it's your intention. You're meditating on the intention, and that adds up energetically.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it adds up a lot, and you know, there's no number to put in it. It's just like your system starts to, it works for you. You know, it's like putting good oil in, putting good, you know, in a car, you put your good oil in or not, you know, you they say you see the difference, you know, so put the good energy in. Oil is probably not the best metaphor to use right now in the world thing we're going through. I had an interesting session that I was doing on someone the other day, and I started, you know, she was new to meditation and the terminology and stuff. And all of a sudden, the metaphor of the well and the ocean came. But I was saying to her, you know, your pipeline, I go, they're telling me to use the pipe, the line down in the ocean that's exhuming this oil. And I said, you know, oil is energy, and it has been abused, it has been misused. I know it's been appreciated, and is you know, and we have to stop and look at it. But in the bigger picture, it's been, especially over the last, you know, 10 years, you know, the abuse, the misuse, the energy that went toward oil itself, the energy of oil. And it was using her chakras, her, like, the life force energy, the spine, almost the cord, as, you know, the pipeline. And if you're not going to clear your pipeline, it's going to clog, it's going to pressurize, it's going to expand, it's going to explode eventually. And, you know, she was in this place, this particular client, where she might be listening, but, she, you know, where that, her energy system, the warning, to me it was like a warning she was getting, which I don't feel I see warnings very often, you know, but where if she doesn't do something, this pressurization is going to explode. And I felt she was getting a very clear health warning. And I said it to her, but then they used, again, the oil and the whole, you know, the well and the pressurization and the abuse of the energy, and then we don't take care of it, and we didn't, you know, whatever, go down and do what needs to be done to maintain. We have to maintain our energy system, our pipeline. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, it was an interesting metaphor. And she says, you know, that's so weird because I keep up on that so much. I read about it daily. And I said, I know. And there's people that don't want to hear about it. And there's people that do. And then there's everything in between. I said, she goes, but I am like obsessed with it. And when you were explaining my energy thing to me, I didn't really get it, but when you started talking about that, I get it. And I thought that was pretty interesting because the visuals started coming in, you know what I mean? And mm-hmm. I thought, oh my gosh, you know, before I even could think about it, I was explaining how that's happened and now in comparison to her energy system. So, you know, it was pretty interesting how when your intuition is open and you see these metaphors, you can see for yourself personal healing. Because it opened her right up. She knew exactly how to look at her own energy system with that metaphor.
Right. And
that's
and it was
a powerful
significant.
One right
yeah.
now.
Right. Significant for her. So let's talk about, you know, we spend a lot of times in our head and we have, you know, a lot of thoughts and they're very intellectual. And, you know, typically the way we connect with our spirit or our soul is through our emotions. So, you know, how do we make that shift?
So making the shift from the intellectual to the emotional?
Mm-hmm.
Well, again, meditation will do that in a natural way. And I've been seeing a lot of that in where people... You know that I know. Oh, I know that. But I know that. I know that. And yeah, but you know it. But the feeling that comes through when you feel the feeling, you can't give. And a reader, a healer can't give that to a person. We can create the sacred space for it to happen, because I think as healers, that's what we do. We create a sacred space to help someone unite mind, body, heart, and spirit, and allow the vibration and the sacred space to be created, and then they can have their own personal experiences. You know, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, I know when you, oh my gosh, it's like my wording for it. There's a lot of people have that intellectual relationship. Well, I know this and I know this, and you walk around and you know that you believe and you know that you understand the terminology and you understand, you know, but giving yourself through, what would be again, through meditation, the time to have the feeling, to bring feeling to it, you know. Mm-hmm. And again, don't go in expecting a feeling as much as it feels good to do it. And then you start to cross those, you know, those that barrier, I think, from just letting it be an intellectual experience to in all the mental knowledge, whether it be through books or it's fine because that stimulates truly what we already know. They say we already know all the stuff we're reading about energy. And I remember when I read Anatomy of Spirit from Carolyn Mace, I really, it was 14 years ago, I didn't know what the word, I couldn't have told you any of this terminology. And I read that book and literally just opened it up and read a paragraph, and the word energy came right off the page and, like, went with my heartbeat. And I was, like, kind of a little, like, scared for a second there because I didn't know what the heck was happening. But the word literally pulsed with my heartbeat. I could see it off the page, and I was like, what does that mean? And then I went, I know what that word means. And then I'm looking at the word going, do I? Maybe I don't know what it means, I guess. And I bought the book, you know what I mean? And it changed. I was reading the book and being emotional, and I was crying, and I would read and go, why do I know this? But I've never read anything like this before. It was completely new, you know, in my intellect. But my emotions were just like flooding. The book was a major healing experience for me. And, you know, I've had people, I've suggested it to people, and they'll say, I can't read that book. It makes me nervous to read it. I truly feel maybe they're just not ready. You know what I mean? And I think everybody's ready on some level, but on some level, maybe they're not, you know? And I don't know. I also struggle with that a little because I think everybody's ready. But
right.
I think I know the difference, too. But it, I don't know. You know, it clearly, I stepped out of my intellect at that moment, you know, and it was completely an emotional experience for me that I allowed to happen and continued to go through, and that changed everything for me that many years ago. It made me understand my emotions, my thought. I mean, that book really was great for me to read, and again, stepped me out of that intellect, even though I was, you know, the emotional experience I had with it, I guess there are no words, but I had it. And I've read it 3 times since then. And it's still very, you know, it never had the quite impact that it did the first time. But that's because I crossed that line, you know what I mean, into the vibration of having that emotional. And I don't know if you've ever written it or not, read it or not, but you obviously already understand and know. But back then when I didn't, it was quite clearly a very big experience for me. So, you know, I think that's when I really crossed the line.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And saw the difference. But I honestly don't think I knew that then. I look back now and know it.
Sure. As well as experienced it.
Yeah, and in experiences of life, yeah. I don't think, that's your biggest teacher, you know?
Yeah.
That's your biggest teacher for sure, and nobody can give you those. And how you're going to process those and understand them. But again, through meditation, you give yourself that opportunity to go into the soul level of understanding it.
Right.
And whether you're just clearing the pipeline out for when it's going to be necessary to go a little deeper, or you're just, you know, again, maintaining or going in for gratitude, everything that you go in for, you're energizing.
Right.
And, you know, it's like when you, go into that place where you energize the beautiful, the divine. We don't, you know, kind of gets back into what we're saying about prayer, you know, and, you know, you go in and you give, when you think something and connect to it emotionally, you give it energy. So if you're going to go in and think of all the all the list of things, you know what I mean? You're giving those energy. And then please help me? No, I, you know, embrace my divine potential to heal this, you know, or I embrace my divine power to transform this. Say something at the end to transform it right then and there.
Right.
And don't leave it up to, you know, God or the universe to do it for you, because you are really the one that has to do it in the bigger picture. You are.
Mm-hmm.
And prayer and meditation gives you that opportunity to energize that.
Right.
You know, throughout the day, you know, you have, you know, getting back to, like you said, the daily, I mean, you can do that in a lot of your thought process. You know, you can stop and look at nature and, you know, look at the things around you, or, a little good deed, you know, someone in the grocery store, you know, unloading, and, you know, you see she's got to walk back with her grocery cart, you know, and do little things. Do things in your daily life to make, you know, help someone else. That's where you get so much back to in energizing, you know, the beauty of things, and, you know, the simple things that you can do. It's amazing to me. If you're open to them, they're there.
Right.
Pay it forward. That movie said it all.
Yeah. Powerful movie.
I love that movie. Pay it forward.
Yeah.
That's another way, you know. It's not going into deep meditation, but it's a way to just bring yourself into higher awareness, which is what meditation is doing.
Sure. So you talk a lot about vibration and frequency. Instead of, you know, maybe explaining it, why don't you give us a meditation and help us shift into it?
Okay. So like right now, take people through?
Yeah.
Okay. Should we set a group intention for that?
Okay.
Let me think. What should we? How about to embrace our divine potential? I like that one for tonight. And what I would suggest is just say, well, embrace our intention is to give energy to our divine potential and to be able to recognize and accept this within our being in all our choices and all our challenges.
Nice.
And if, you know, people can think about that, maybe jot it down, divine potential in all I do tomorrow, and say it tomorrow morning too. And we'll kind of just go through a little meditation right now.
Okay, perfect.
Okay. So if you're in a place where you can just adjust and get comfortable, and just making a little adjustment shows you how tight you might have been, and just relax. And if you can close your eyes, obviously, go right ahead. And just bring your awareness into your breath and just focus on the sound of the breath as it comes up through your nostrils and flows behind the eyes. And as though it illuminates a path behind the eyes, just let the breath continue, relaxing the eyelids, the brow area and forehead. Your next inhale, make it a little deeper. And just count silently to 4 for this one and exhale to 6. Let your next inhale be to 6 and your exhale to 8. And let's give it an 8 in and 10 out. And just let your breath be comfortable and natural as you follow along. Be, feel, or just simply know. You are now entering the energy of your heart. There is a beautiful flame, a golden flame of light. And as you breathe, this light in your heart expands. And you breathe it up around the shoulders and let it flow gently down through your arms, into your palms, and fingers. In each palm, there is a golden heart that you are holding. Allow the light of your heart to flow down through your torso, legs, and through the soles of your feet. And breathe this light up from your heart behind your eyes and let it illuminate this path. Beautiful path of light. And this light will expand. It will expand outside of you as though every pore releases light, creating a beautiful golden aura around you. Be, feel, or know. It is happening for you. And it'll expand even further, flowing through your emotional atmosphere. And let it expand further, higher, lower, all around, through your mental atmosphere. Let it push out even further, as though it's lifting you up into the stars. Just let yourself float up for a moment, in your light, through the stars. Silently inhale divine, and exhale potential as you lift through the stars in this beautiful light. Divine, potential, for a few breaths. And just let your light begin to come back down through the stars, carrying with you this divine potential. And in your next breath, your light will be flowing through your mental atmosphere, where all thought will raise in vibration to its most divine potential. For you to think and know and create. In your next inhale, bring it down into your emotional atmosphere, where all of your feelings and emotions resonate to success and happiness, you reaching the most divine potential in all that you feel. Be yourself, be smiling, put one on your face now. As you inhale into your astral atmosphere, which is a true reflection of you, and let it be filled with light. And in your next inhale, nice and deep, through every pore of your body, let the light flow in. Through the cells, through the systems, the fibers and fluids, it flows. And you're holding this light in every cell of your being. And back into the energy of your heart. As you embrace your divine potential in all your choices, all your actions, thoughts, feelings, and knowing, and carry this with you. Take a nice deep breath in. Exhale through your mouth. Just let your fingers and toes move if they've been still. Kind of let your physical senses adjust back. And as you're opening your eyes, sometimes you become very aware of just how maybe out there you were. And maybe not, which is fine. Be very conscious in meditation. And sometimes you really do feel like you drifted off into another place and time. But either way, you have given energy to your divine potential. And that allows you to go out and create from that place. Tonight as you dream, tomorrow when you go through your day. But you are the one solely responsible for giving that more energy. And that is power. Thank you. I enjoyed doing that meditation.
Yeah, that was beautiful.
So we're going to have a lot of people running around in their divine potential tomorrow, I hope. I know. Yes.
Yeah. So, as people, you know, create this intention and this focus, and they work through not having expectations, and they use their breath work.
Oh, you know what? I'm sorry. I lost you a little bit. It got a little faded. I'm sorry.
Okay. But as people work through, their vibration and frequency tends to shift. And I think it's important to note when we're not in our heads and we're in, you know, that still space, whether it's our emotional state or it's our pleasure state or it's that state of gratitude and thankfulness. But it does tend to, you know, shift us out of or above or create, I guess, the sacred space to allow ourselves to create this, you know, this connection.
Yes. And, you know, it is, you know, I mean, I think you agree it is up to us to do, mm-hmm. to do that. You know, I think it's our, we deserve to do it, you know, and maybe if we see that we are deserving of such, you know, divine expression, even on the physical earth, and that doesn't mean perfect, it just means beautiful expression of who we are, then, you know, it's felt with others, you know, others see it and feel it and learn from it, and there it goes. It just, you know, circulates, and I don't know, it's an important thing.
Mm-hmm.
And we all can do that. There are some things we maybe can't do in a physical way, but we can do that. And hopefully that's what we give, you know, the audiences as they listen, that feeling that they can. They can, you know, transform and start with the energy in their hearts and their minds working together, you know, in a higher vibration, and that they carry that with them, because they can. They can make the transformations energetically now and allow the manifestation, and trust in the manifestation will be.
Right.
You know when it's time for action, you know. You know. Sometimes it isn't full action, full mode, you know. The decision, you have to get the conditions, the sacred space around you, to trust intuitively when it's time to make these changes and shifts and physical changes out of things. That the questions I'm sure you hear too,
mm-hmm.
you know, should I leave my job, and should I leave this relationship, and what do I, you know, questions that we shouldn't give them that answer, you know?
Yeah.
To help them create the space to know intuitively what they should do, unless we're given, you know, something clearly that they're not seeing. I think you know what I mean when mm-hmm. I say that, and hopefully it comes across the way I want it to.
Absolutely. So, Beth, tell us what is happening in your world. I know you made an audition for Oprah's Own. Did you want to tell people how they can get a hold of that? Vote
yeah,
for it?
Thank you. I'm doing for Oprah's network an audition to get your own show on her network, and it's really a neat opportunity to just get myself out there a little bit more, and you can just go to my website, which is Beth-Lynch.com, and there is a link to go to vote, or you can go right to Oprah's site and it'll say browse and vote, and you can click on that and look for Beth Lynch, or you can look for Let's Learn, Live, and Love. That's the name of my video, Let's Learn, Live, and Love. So, yeah, and, you know, hopefully someday I'll be having a little talk show, but if not, you know, just the people I'm touching by watching the video, I'm very happy to be touching all the voters that are voting for me now, and I'm very grateful for them taking the time and energy to do it. And it is very simple to vote, which is good, because I know sometimes those things can get complicated, but she made it very easy for people to vote. You just click, and it's done. But again,
unless you're Canadian.
You. Pardon me?
Unless you're Canadian.
Yeah.
And then you're not allowed to vote. It says thank you, but, you know, it doesn't actually work. However, that's okay.
Exactly. It's like, oh, my God. Whoops. All that. Deep breath. But, yeah, thank you. And if you want more information on my classes and services, obviously my website is the place for that, Beth-Lynch.com, and it's Inner Light Teachings. And I have a lot of programs, and I do Skype readings, phone sessions, and classes, and all kinds of services. And, yeah, I really thank you for the opportunity to co-host again with you, and I will look forward to hopefully every other month on Monday night. It's second
yep.
Monday of the month.
That's right. So we're looking for August then?
Yeah, we'll go for August.
Perfect.
And for right now, and again, I thank you for this opportunity, and to be able to do the meditation was wonderful.
It was. We'll try and include something like that with each show, because I think that allows people to get, you know, a taste of what you're doing and how to make those connections, so that we're
yes,
all
thank you.
In that empowered space.
And if they have any ideas for any theme of the show that they would like to do, they could contact me through my website, and I'll gladly, you know, work on something and get with you, and we'll, you know, put it out there and see what they're looking for, what they need.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's really important, to have, you know, the interaction and to create, you know, what people are looking for. But you're doing a great job.
Well, thank you, Lori, for having me again, and I look forward to speaking with you.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, take care, okay?
All right, enjoy.
Thank you, bye-bye.
Bye.